Previously, on Dragons Not Included.
We should probably give this note to Erebeth.
Maybe look at some black eyes.
You've rested up, thanks to the clerics and paladins here at the Defender's Heart. You've been healed, and Hans, your eyesight has been restored to you.
Well,
head back out onto the streets. Though a lot of the manor houses in this section are destroyed, none of them have been razed as completely as Nicerian Manor. You hear further north. You recognize this noise, Istra, as a cry for help.
Where are you? Keep shouting, I can hear you!
You see three cultists standing around a unholy symbol of Baphomet, and bound into the circle is a small elephant covered in thick fur.
You get away from my best friend!
I have a number of questions, and I feel none of them are going to be answered.
Now this scans.
This beast is a powerful offering for our lord. Praise Lord Baphomet.
Praise my boot!
As this cultist, who is staggered by Hans, violently stabbed, nowhere near her by Istra, a crossbow bolt sails out and strikes her in the head, and she collapses to the floor.
Greetings, and welcome to the Dragons Not Included podcast, an actual play tabletop role-playing game podcast where we're playing Pathfinder, Wrath of the Righteous. My name's Stephen, and I shall be the GM for this adventure.
I'm Joe, and I'm playing Scrutiny, the Wizard Illusionist Rogue.
Hi, I'm Dave, and I'm playing Elden Aegis, the human paladin of Iomedon.
Hi, I'm Rowan, and I will be playing Istra, the human beast rider cavalier of Gorum.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm playing Hans, the relic hunter inquisitor of Drangvit.
Before we get started with returning to Kenabris and that whole weird mammoth thing, whatever the hell that's about, you guys just leveled up. Let's talk about that.
Yay!
So Joe, what level did you take?
I'm a wizard! Again. For the third time.
Again.
Again.
So what makes you like a level 3 illusionist, level 1 rogue?
Yup. Yup. Because spells scale towards the level. If you fall behind on spells, they get less useful. At least that's what I tend to find.
I tend to find that when I force Mystic Thurge into every campaign I'm ever in.
if you just cast spells and the person who runs out of spells loses, Mystic Thurge doesn't have that problem.
So, you got at level 4, you got an ability score increase, so what did you put that in?
I got big brain. I am now intelligence 19. Which doesn't provide any intrinsic bonuses, but it does mean I can cast level 9 spells when we get round to it.
Okay, cool. So when we get to book 6, that'll pay out.
Nice.
Any neat class abilities you got this level?
No. I got spells, but no. Wizards are actually simultaneously very difficult and very simple. They level up, they get spells, they have a T. That is my TED talk.
What spells do you have? David, what level did you take at level 4?
Ah, well, I took... I took Paladin. Elden Aegis, Paladin through and through.
He just has Paladin for life tattooed on his chest.
I mean, he might as well do. He probably will get the symbol of Iomedae tattooed at some point. Probably throughout this campaign.
Yeah, on his hand you'll have Smite and Evil tattooed on his hand. Those knuckles.
gains an extra finger just so that he can fit Smite on properly.
No, it's just squished onto the last finger really awkwardly.
It's S-M-I-T-E. Not too much interesting happens at level 4 with a paladin. I get to use my Smite Evil an extra time per day. I can use 2 of my Lay on Hands to channel positive energy as a cleric would. Although I do gain access to my first spells once I've had a try.
Interesting. This has been very interesting so far.
Well, I mean, it's mostly just increases to existing abilities. You know, it's not.
I just increase
like
abilities. I get to cast spells. You know, nothing much.
I do get my first spells, but not until we've rested. Paladin spellcasting is fun because I don't have to learn any new spells. I just have them all.
All right, what ability score did you increase?
I took charisma because I'm a paladin. Charisma is my most important stat.
He's a very handsome, charming boy is what he is.
He is. He's so charming. We all love him.
His chin gets squarer when he puts a point in. Eventually, he will just be one giant, regular octagon.
Humans of his chin alone.
Incredible. And that really is mostly about it. There's a, yeah. Nice and simple for Elden, this level. Next level's going to be a bit more interesting.
So, Rowan, what's happening with Mavistro?
Well, pretty much what you'd expect. I took another level in Cavalier, and I gained, what is it, an extra challenge per day. So I can now do that twice a day.
Well, I mean, challenging is very good and all, but I think the main thing you got was the thing we've been misleading the audience and the rest of the players since level one, is you now are able to have an exotic mount because you've been hiding this from everyone. What is the archetype you've taken for Cavalier?
So, I have taken the Cavalier subclass, Beast Rider, which basically means that there's a couple of things I'll be missing from the main Cavalier class, but it means that I get an exotic mount.
Ooh. One say a woolly mammoth would count as some sort of exotic mount.
Yeah, mate, perhaps, but no, who would do that? That's just weird.
It's actually a security blanket with legs.
He's my best friend, actually, so jot that one down.
And, well, what ability score increase did you take?
I got an ability score increase in Constitution, because I want Istra to never die.
You have all of the hit points.
I was thinking about putting it in Strength, which would be nice. But I can't. I have to actually be able to hit to justify that in my head.
I have to ask now, what's your maximum hit point?
So once I've added the hit dice that I've rolled for this level and included that bonus.
And toughness,
correct, which gives me an extra plus one. I have gone up to 47 hit points.
That's quite a number.
Wow.
Level 4, baby!
I think you might have more hit points than Scrutiny and Hans combined.
I've got 20.
I got 28.
Oh, hey, so
beat
close.
Me one below.
We're outpacing you. Together.
Oh, damn, I got to get good. Hang
in
on.
Tandem.
That is pretty beautiful. So, what's the deal with Hans?
Well, I'm glad you ask, because finally Hans has arrived and has taken his first level in Holy Vindicator. That's right, he has taken a prestige class to bring pain and justice to the... I'm kidding, he's actually taken another level of Inquisitor, specifically the Relic Hunter path. He now has glasses.
Oh, very nice. Ooh. Those neat ones you picked up at the Tower of Estrel.
Did he get astigmatism?
Yeah, that blind spell never really left. But no, he's taken a level of Inquisitor, specifically Relic Hunter, and now has a new relic item. That means he can cast even more spells, which I've immediately taken, and none of them are going to ever be useful. So I hope you're ready for this.
And I believe you've got second level spells now, even more useless spells.
Indeed!
What ability score did you increase?
His wisdom, because... he has to have something going for him.
Well, shall we get back to the episode? I believe there was something to do with a woolly mammoth tied in the middle of an unholy circle with a bunch of dead cultists around them.
Oh, yeah, lunch.
Yeah. So Istra's going to run over, and assuming it's ropes that are holding him down?
Yeah, it's just bound with ropes. He's unconscious in the middle of the circle, but you just run across, just splashing across the blood and entrails that have been drawn into the inverted pentagram.
Yeah, Istra's going to start with the knife that she's now holding from the end of the last episode. Start carving away at the ropes.
Yes, the cultist knife blade.
Yeah.
Question. So, inverted pentagram on the floor. How do we know it's inverted?
From the angle we are, it's upside down. If you walk around the other side, it'd be the right way.
Yeah, but that just means that we just need to rotate, like...
You're a master of illusions. You should know how these things work. It's just an illusionary spell, well, yeah, so no matter where you're stood, it's inverted.
Generally, you hold it up against a wall or something.
It rotates with you like the trees in a video game.
One of Baphomet's symbols is an inverted pentagram. I don't really know what more you want from me.
It's on the ground.
It's magical.
I've got it. If you go to Australia, it'll be the right way up.
My question is, if it's Baphomet's holy symbol when it's inverted, whose holy symbol is it when it's inverted?
Baphomet's unholy symbol.
How do you... Yeah.
Make me a knowledge religion check.
Oh, okay. That's 12 on the dice for a total of... Arns, what do you do here? Buddy, where's your skills? They're their skills. Knowledge religion. That'll be... 23.
Okay. Well, before Baphomet became a true demon lord, he made a foray into hell to challenge Asmodeus, the lawful evil god of devils and hell. It didn't go so well for him. He was imprisoned by Asmodeus, and Asmodeus carved his unholy symbol into the brow of Baphomet, hence why Baphomet has an inverted pentagram carved into his forehead.
Right.
See? Just because they're evil doesn't mean they get along.
I would say, actually, it might preclude them from getting along.
I don't know. Hang on. Are you saying, by its nature, friendship can only be for those of the neutral and good aligned?
Yes.
How dare you? Friendship is for everyone.
Maybe the real Baphomet was the friends we made along the way.
Oh, no.
That's our goal for this campaign there.
So, you managed to cut through the bonds bounding this small woolly mammoth. I say small woolly mammoth, he's like the size of like a Great Dane.
That's for a woolly mammoth.
Yeah, small for a mammoth, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to start shaking him awake, being like, Smile, buddy, come on. Come on, wake up. Yeah, this isn't the time to sleep.
He seems like he's been like taking enough damage that he's unconscious. Like, you probably need to heal him up.
Wait, this is Smell?
Does mammoth have dwarfism?
This is my buddy, Smell. He's my best friend. Guys, somebody needs to heal him.
I'll walk over and perform.
I've got a cure light wounds, actually, on me.
I'll on hands, I've got them. Too bad.
Okay.
Smell regains 1, 2, 3 hit points.
As Eldon stretches out his gauntleted hand and places it gently on the mammoth, and the warmth and light of Iomedae is channeled into him, and goggly his eyes open, and then a burst of excitement as he's so happy to see Istra, and he just starts pushing against you, just affectionately rubbing into you.
Istra hugs around his head.
I thought
he graciously accepts the hug, just nuzzling into you more.
I thought Smell was a dwarf.
Why did you think that?
You described him as small and hairy and didn't talk. You know what? Actually, that makes sense now. Wait, yeah. No, you said that when he does talk, he's insightful. So he does talk.
Yeah, he's really smart.
This explains so much.
Yes. And he's a bit shy as well, so I don't think he's going to say anything, but it's okay.
I'm sorry, what?
What?
Say, it's a mammoth.
Yeah? It's
what
smart.
What does he have to say?
A lot, but it's only when it's important.
Right.
Is there, like, a purplish bruise permanently branded on her head or something?
I can put one there if you want.
Let's not.
No, let's not inflict further brain damage.
Of all of the things that we've seen, this is possibly one of the less weird ones. Maybe we should just
no,
accept
them. I mean, demons invading is kind of like our Tuesday.
Might be your Tuesday.
I don't get what you guys don't get.
The mammoth.
I just thought that Smell was a person. It's fine.
I mean, he's like a person.
What?
Smell was just curiously watching all of this going on.
What
staying close to
languages is Smell fluent in?
I don't understand the question. He's a mammoth.
What did you do to this mammoth to make it so small?
Oh, he's always been this way. In fact, he's actually bigger than the last time I saw him. And she, takes off one of her shoes to, like, use as a foot for measuring. And starts, like...
That's not how feet work. Okay.
That's...
Yeah, he's taller.
Okay.
He gives a very prideful trumpet in response to this.
I know, but, like...
Right.
What were you eating?
He just looks at you. His big, adorable eyes just looking at you.
She'll just ruffle the top of his head.
He gives another happy trumpet in response to that.
Yeah, that was really smart. That was a funny one. Okay. Right, where are we heading off?
Oh, she's insane.
Right.
Like, I had my doubts, but...
No, this is normal. This is usual. This is Istra. This tracks.
I thought she was quirky.
Quirked up. Quirked up. The cavalier. Goated with the mammoth.
Right.
I'm going to walk into the other room and I'm going to strike you down.
I thought you were speaking to character for a second. I'm like, but you're not in a room. And then I realised.
Right. I believe that we were on our way back to the Defender's Heart because we had found nothing at Nasirian Manor.
Yeah, it was just completely razed to the ground. It's like, oh, well, that was an easy cult safe house to explore. Oh, it's gone.
Dang it, we should have checked that one first. Oh, well, that's one last place to check. We'll head back and then we can find out news from the Ring District.
Indeed.
We need to remember to ask Erebeth about her sword. That was a thing that came up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to ask you this, Stephen, last session.
Yes?
I loot the cultist.
Oh, yes, you loot the cultist.
That wasn't really much of a question, to be honest.
It's not really a question, it's more of an action. I loot, therefore I am.
It's a statement of intention.
Well, you found...
Sorry, I have to phrase it correctly because I am a cultist, a member of the Cult of Dragons.
Cultist?
I don't loot them. I claim for the church.
Okay, what you claim for the church is a lot of things you've found before.
Uh-huh.
Between them, you find 3 potions of Cure Light Wounds.
Okay.
Yoink.
Okay.
2 scrolls of Corsphere.
2 scrolls of Corsphere?
No, 2 scrolls of Corsair.
Oh, Corsair scrolls. Excellent.
Nar-har.
3 scrolls of Comprehend Language.
Oh, blimey.
Nice.
Those are useful.
3 vials of Unholy Water.
See, if I took that spell, that would be very useful right now.
3 masterwork chain shirts. 3 masterwork glaives. 3 daggers. 3 spell component pouches.
Evil spell component pouches or normal spell component pouches?
They're neutral spell component pouches.
Oh, wow.
As the god Nethys teaches, the magic is not inherently good or evil. Unless it has the good or evil descriptor in its spell description.
Yeah.
Ah, so like many other things, reading the spell tells you what the spell does.
You got it in 1. 3 unholy symbols of Baphomet. And finally, 30 gold pieces.
Nice.
Right, 30 gold pieces.
And 3 bodies that we've left naked in the street.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably wearing something, right? Underclothes.
Nope, they were completely naked. It's just the cultist of Baphomet way.
The 30 gold pieces, here you go, Eldon. I can trust you to use this correctly and donate it properly to the church when at a later date.
Okay.
I can trust you to do that, right?
Of course.
Which church are you going to donate it to?
Well, I was planning on donating it to the war effort, given that we'll be marching into the World Wound soon.
Everyone, I'll have to check that with Drangvit and her in prayers, but that sounds agreeable.
I mean, it was money used by cultists to further cult goals. I feel like they owe it to us to pay it forward.
Indeed, you have made a valid idea there. I'll put that forward in discussions and meetings. Here is your receipt.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent.
You just carry receipt paper.
Yeah, of course I've had a receipt.
Written.
I've had a receipt book. How else am I going to do my taxes and my investments?
You know what, that's a fair point.
Please understand this investment from the Count Drangvir into the war effort is to be paid in kind in 70 years' time. If you cannot pay over in like, then your descendants will be held accountable. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm just imagining in the future there's a little kid sat on an elderly paladin's knee. It's like, Granddad Elden, Granddad Elden. And then the Zahards burst out the door. Time to collect debts!
Debt collection time.
Hope you're not attached to your kneecaps, boy.
I'm now actually having to make a note of how much I've invested in the war effort.
Excuse me, it's how much the cult of Baphomet has invested in the war effort.
You make your way back across into Gate District, snaking away around the route you've already travelled, finally reaching the large, well-secured inn surrounded by palisades, the Defender's Heart. And standing on a makeshift guard tower, one of the Eagle Knights calls down, "Greetings! What's the password?"
"Is it still Silverstrong?"
"Indeed it is. We're back just in time. Some strange folks have turned up here."
"Ooh.
Are you only asking for one password? You should really be asking for multiple forms of security here."
"Yeah, like, we did talk about dual authentication before."
"Yeah, exactly.
We have not implemented it just yet."
"Oh. They really need to get on that."
"Yes. Especially given that we just shout it out in the street. I feel like that makes it an easy thing to circumnavigate."
"Yeah. Like, at least have some sort of written version of it, or someone with magic powers, at least, to look at you and confirm your identity."
"Yes. Well, anyway,
take it up with the Knight Commander."
"Walk in. Irabeth, change the password."
You open the door, and you're greeted by the same sort of ransacked inn as, you know, more inhabitants are in there than what would be a busy day in a tavern, as lots of refugees and the survivors you keep finding keep adding to that number. There's that section set into the quiet corner, towered with books haphazardly, where the librarians are there with our good friend Aravashnil. There's sort of the war room, as you referred to it, I believe, last episode, which is just a place with maps where Anevia is sitting there.
It's less
there,
of a war room and more of a war cozy.
War cozy, yes. It's got more home.
A war nook.
Nook.
But there is another group which is being given a wide berth by everyone else other than Commander Irabeth. You notice the strange deformed humanoids of the mongrel men of Neathholm.
Oh, the mole people.
The mole people.
The leader amongst them seems to be talking with Irabeth, and you recognize him as a handsome human with a goat's horn on one side and a lizard feature running down the second side of his body as your good friend Lan.
"It's Lan. Lan's here. Love Lan. What a nice guy. You don't remember? He's the guy that led us to Neathholm."
"Oh.
We saved his friend."
"Oh, it's ringing a bell now, but I thought he was, like, deformed in a different way. Never mind."
No, that was Lan.
Ah, very fair. Good for Lan."
Helden is going to walk over.
"Yes, and we're glad to aid the Crusade. Ah, Helden Aegis, you are a sight for sore eyes."
"Ah, Lan, good to see you." And Helden is going to give him a big old hug.
Oh, you're very, very friendly today, my friend."
"Ah, friendly is as friendly."
And he pats you on the back in response to the hug.
"Ah, how's it going?"
"Ah, it's strange to be on the surface. The sky, it's a terrifying thing to behold for the first time, although it is oddly mesmerizing and beautiful in its terrifying expanse. I'm glad to be inside. This inn seems very pleasant. A lot nicer than the stone huts of Neathholm."
"Yes, it was more pleasant once upon a time, but, well, we things as they are."
"Yes, we're very glad to have you and your kin on us with this crusade. Any amount of help you can provide will be a great boon to us. I'm glad to see you are back, you and your friends, Elden."
"Yes, we returned from Mysterian Manor
Unfortunately, it was razed to the ground.
Oh, well. That's odd. You'd think they would leave one of their safe houses untouched.
I think they destroyed it on purpose. Something tells me there might have been something kept there, and they wanted no trace of it.
That is a possibility, or maybe, seeing as cults are usually founded by chaotic and disorganized people, that they may have had some sort of falling out.
Perhaps. Irabeth, there's something I'd like to talk to you about.
Of course. Lan, we'll finish our conversation later. You go and set up with your friends over there. We'll talk about that problem later. Yes, Elden, what is it you wish to discuss with me?
Are we out of earshot from the majority of the inn?
You can ask her to take to a more quieter space, and she'll gladly go with you.
I mean, if the party wants to come along as well, something that may be best memorized by the members of the party as well. It's just, could we take this somewhere a little quieter?
Sure. If you come to the map table, I'm sure it's fine to involve Anevia. She'll probably want to hear. Even if I didn't tell her, she would probably demand the information out of me later.
That's fair.
She leads you over to the map table. This is where you had the drinks when you first met her. Please take a seat.
All right. Irabeth.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, yes. Hello. How's things?
Anevia sort of rubs her leg. I wish I was more out in the field being helpful. It's more of my preferred talents, but heading out scouting expeditions and tracking demon movements has been suiting me well. Just sitting around doing nothing's really not in my style.
No. Understandable. Understandable.
Your skills are invaluable.
Plus you're, like, injured, so you kind of have to rest up.
You can offer to teach your skills to others. That would be helpful as well.
Hey, don't sell me out just yet. I may be injured, but I'm not giving up and going to teaching ranging before I'm ready.
Ooh, brutal. Now, this is a matter that came up earlier, so I'm sorry we didn't ask it sooner. Irabeth, we spoke to... we received this information from Horgus earlier in our journey, and we didn't think it time to question it. But, what was the name of the guy that owned Nasirian Manor?
I will just get that for you.
Because it's him that wanted to buy Erebeth's sword.
Just checking in the book.
Oh, yeah.
This is information that Elden would have retained.
Kandro Nasirian.
But Kandro Nasirian, the owner of Nasirian Manor, apparently inquired through Horgus about purchasing your sword.
Her face sort of drops a little, and Anevia is just watching her response. Beth, I didn't ask you this because I knew you probably had a good reason, but you might want to share. Oh, yes. I'm so sorry for getting all my personal manners dragged to this. I needed the money. I sold it to Kandro. I had no idea he was part of any cult. I just knew him as a wealthy lord who was purchasing artifacts from the Crusade. And my father's longsword had served the faithful of Iomedae for generations, and he seemed intent on having it. Why did you sell it? We could have just saved up some more money. I knew you weren't happy the way we were living, Nev. I should have provided more for you, so we needed more money for our future. But you didn't have to sell your father's sword. That's been in your family for generations. I regret it a little bit, but especially now with what has transpired in Kennebras. But I think once this whole thing's blown over, we'll have to talk more about it. I'm sorry to all of you for dragging you into this mess.
It's quite all right. But there's more to it. If he's tied to cult activities, he might have wanted your sword in particular for a reason.
That is a terrifying prospect. If you can find it again, it would be wonderful, but I don't know if it's even in Kennebrez anymore. He may have just sent it away from the city. But it's not really a big issue. We have larger problems in store than just a family heirloom, I'm afraid.
My worry may be that it wasn't just a family heirloom. Did it have any particular significance? Did it face any particular odds or battles that seemed unlikely?
It fought in countless number of battles. It was just a rather powerful sword that was strong against demonic forces. Evil outsiders feared its touch more than anything.
Did you say we have bigger problems? Like what?
Well, the city is still on fire.
I'm afraid even that pales in comparison to what's to come.
Oh dear.
I'm sure we'll explain it more when Gwendis gets back from his mission. I'll form a meeting when he does. We have a lot to discuss about the future, maybe not even Kennebrez, maybe not even just all of Mendev, but all of Galarian itself.
Great inheritor.
May she be with us and watch over us now. She sort of shakes out of it. This is a bit of a heavy topic. But please, get some rest. You more than deserve it after all the work you've been putting in for us. If you have any more evil art items, I'm sure the Eagle Knights will be happy to destroy and reimburse you for them. There's still merchants about if you need to purchase anything. But get a good rest. Catch up with your allies. Speak to your family. Just relax, and then I'll tell you when Gwendis gets here and we'll have a proper talk about all of this.
Oh, speaking of, any news? The Aegises, any of them come forward?
I have not heard from any Aegises, but I'm afraid I can't confirm anything for now, but maybe they fled the city, or maybe they died fighting. Either way, they either escaped to get reinforcements or died protecting those who survived. I'm sorry, Eldon. She puts a hand on your shoulder. If they either escaped or have moved on to the next world, the Inheritor will protect them.
That is where my hope lies.
I'm sure they died honorably. Istra says, trying her best to comfort him.
And she's been sort of like talking to Eldon. Oh, what is that creature over there?
Oh, good question. Sorry, I was going to ask, do you let dogs in here?
Don't be mean. You've seen Hans before.
Ow.
That looks like no dog I've ever seen before.
Oh, no, it's a mammoth. I was just wondering if you would like...
A mammoth? How did it get so far south?
He's my friend. We've been travelling together for...
She has a very puzzled expression on her face.
What?
And she's being very diplomatic. I see, yes. Of course.
Oh, sorry. Smal, this is everyone. Everyone, this is Smal.
Lovely to meet you, Smal. I assume when you say you've travelled far, you hail from the realm of the Mammoth Lords?
Yeah, how'd you guess? And also Istra is instructing Smal with a trick that she has taught him to do to extend his trunk to shape like a handshake.
He like, lifts his little trunk up. He's avoiding scrutiny because of all the mean things he said, but he lifts up his trunk to everyone, too, as a greeting.
Eldon will shake the trunk, although he's slightly wondering why this didn't happen earlier when they were actually introduced.
Because you didn't need it at the time.
You know what, that's a fair point.
Her eyes just meet everyone else's in the group, like she's looking for some sort of, like, answer.
No answer will come. There's just sort of a I don't know how exactly to say it. Somewhere between pleading and apologetic.
doesn't hear from Eldon.
Well, of course he can stay with us. Just probably try not to scare some of the more terrified people.
Oh, he's lovely. He's very comforting and very, very wise, like I've said.
And I don't doubt that for a minute. Yes, go get some rest. I've got some things I need to take care of before Quintus gets back. May the Inheritor be with you.
Yes. Oh, before you go, if you still need to borrow money, please go to the Dragvit Church. We offer extensive investment rates.
Let's not be doing that right now. We have more pressing issues.
Sorry, this is about lending money. This is extremely important to the Dragvit Church.
You know, that's a fair point.
So, Here's a card.
Thank you. We'll take it into consideration, Hans.
Yeah, and you don't have to have any collateral or any form of a down payment. We are happy to just take your immortal soul in the service of Drangvid if you can't afford anything else.
Behind Hans, Eldon is giving sort of like a wide-eyed, like, head shake, like the don't.
Well, that's very informative. I need to see to some things, and the half-orc woman sort of nods politely, then leaves to talk to members of the Eagle Knights.
Excellent.
So, a mammoth?
Yeah.
And a cell spitch. So nothing's changed since we've been stuck underground, then?
A mammoth, two tieflings, a dwarf, and a human walk into a bar.
What do you mean? A mammoth, a tiefling, two humans, and a dwarf?
I was thinking I thought you were the straight man there, Scrutiny.
Where?
Well, we all have our moments.
Well, some things have changed. Scrutiny is not disowned by his family anymore.
Wait, when was he disowned by his family?
I was never disowned by my family.
If you're ever disowned by your family, you can come join the Drangvit Church. I'm sure your fine intellectual abilities will be valued by the
Lord. I assumed you were.
It was discrimination from the Church of Iomidae.
Oh, my apologies. Yeah. They are like that.
They can be, yes.
Lord Prelate Herlan was definitely a suspicious type.
Yes.
God knows he's out there somewhere fighting demons with his bare hands. Since this attack happened.
He has bare hands?
Wow. I didn't know you could tell a joke. Two in one day.
That wasn't a joke, that was an observation. Turn from this day forward.
I thought your name was Scrutiny. But it's nice to meet you, Stern.
Scrutiny. For one time!
It's my fist bump smile with his trunk.
Yep, he gives like he looks impressed, especially because he didn't seem to have taken a dislike to Scrutiny for him being very mean to Smile, I must say. And Evia is just sort of covering her mouth, giggling, watching him.
What have I done? But yeah, when you're rested up, we'd love for you to come with us. Just like old times.
Where are we going? Oh, right.
Probably just slow you down with my leg the way it is, but I'll definitely keep that offer in mind.
I'm sure a time will come when you'll be able to walk again.
I look forward to it. She gives a wide smile. I must get back to toileting those last reports. And she gets her head stuck in another book and is taking notes.
Right, so she doesn't leave, she just sits there and looks away from us into a book?
To be fair, we did walk up to her.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's not like she came up to us.
She's a PC, she can't move from her designated spot.
Yeah, only Herobeth can. She's the only NPC that can move to different areas in the tavern.
Sorry, I just had this beautiful image of we were all sat at a table and she goes, so now I must be busying myself, turns slightly away from us and we're all sat there going... We just carry on?
Yeah, to be fair, you did sort of interrupt her work.
We start to talk to her again, and she just goes, lovely weather out there, isn't it?
You know, the conversation starts again.
Right, well, we should get resting, getting rid of our profane miss artifacts, and sorting out supplies for our next run.
Where is our next run?
Well... I'm sure once Quendis gets back, we'll have some sort of direction.
So that's the plan, is we busy ourselves until someone gets back and tells us what we're doing.
Well, until they give us a direction, we can always go and scout around Kennebrus and see what other survivors we can pick up, but...
Oh, salvage run. Yeah, that would be very useful for the church. We need more things to salvage.
Well, I meant more like, you know, saving those in need, given that we're possibly going to have to mount a counterattack at some point.
Exactly, salvage.
Got it.
I'm a little disquieted at you mentioning human beings as salvage.
Everyone is salvage in the eyes of Drangvit, until they prove they have value.
Anyway, let's go get some rest.
Grootin's gonna probably want to have a chat with his parents.
Yeah, just sure.
catch up, make sure they don't have too much trauma bouncing around in their heads. Make sure that they know that I am alive.
I'm so sorry. Everyone has PTSD. The city got destroyed.
They're with the other sort of survivors, though. Obviously, Elwyn, being the more charismatic, has been taking care of other people. Even though he was quite injured himself, he's become a bit of more of a positive influence on everyone there as a voice of the community.
I can picture it. He's just like, you should apply more pressure to that wound, then blood just bursts out. Never mind.
Try again. And persistence, not being a big people person, she's put her skills as a blacksmith to work, helping mend weapons and armor in any way she can. Which one do you approach first? Because they are working in different areas.
I suppose I approach Mum, because, yeah, if Dad don't want to sort of interrupt anything with Dad, but Mum, easier to talk to.
Well, she's sitting down at a workstation working on a sword as you come in. Scrutiny.
Hi, Mum. How are you holding up?
Better than a lot of folks here. I'm happy that I've got something I can contribute. Otherwise, I'm not exactly the great spirit raiser as your father is, but I can help in my own way.
You always do keep yourself busy, don't you?
If there's work to be done, Scrutiny, it's best to see it done.
I'm likely going to be heading out soon again, so I don't know quite but when, but we'll see.
Your father still feels very guarded about that issue, but he is doing what he thinks is right by talking with the survivors, and I am helping here. You have found your own way to help, and I will say that brings me a great amount of pride in you, Scrutiny.
Thank you. That means a lot.
I've always been proud of you, Scrutiny. And though the church may not see it, as they do not see even the minor things giving value to what they do here, you've done well for not just me and your father, but for your friends and for the survivors of Kennebras. And I'm glad they have you as a voice of reason.
By the gods, do they need a voice of reason?
Well, you know how dogmatic and zealous the Church of Iomade can be. Especially with your little misunderstanding in Dresden.
Yes. Well, it looks like that doesn't matter anymore, so that's a benefit. Silver linings and all that.
Maybe that old goat Herland finally up and died when this attack happened.
Yes. Well, I did come across Eula, actually, at Blackwing.
Yes, I've seen her about. She's been avoiding my gaze for quite some time now.
Yeah, I must admit, it's a conversation I've been avoiding as well.
Your father's already had to stop me several times from going over to give her a piece of my mind. But the wisdom in what he says, it is your issue with her you need to talk out. Not my place.
Not wrong. Don't feel quite ready for it, but it is something that I'll have to approach at some point.
She nods. I'm sure your father will want to see you. Before he spreads any more news about how amazing and wonderful his son is to everybody that will care to listen.
He's not out there. Well, yes, I'd best go about and disappoint everyone. So here I go. I'll go talk to Dad.
Here I go, disappointing everyone again.
Wow, accurate. Oh god, this is terrible.
This is supposed to be fantasy. What am I doing?
Take plenty of bed rest, and you'll be fine soon. I'm sure the Medevius Crusaders will be here any day to support us.
Ah, there's the fantasy.
Ah, the boy Scrutiny, he's the one I told you about. Ah, I'm so glad you made it safe back, Scrutiny.
Yes, I'm glad I made it back too. I see you've got your hands full.
Well, the help of Abadar is there where it is needed, and I will gladly provide it.
Just saying, I've come back and we're probably going to head out again at some point.
It's a solemn expression.
I know.
It's hard for me to let you do it again, but I understand this is what you want to do. And
I don't have a choice.
I know better than most that stopping you is not really an option.
I don't have a choice. What are we supposed to do? Our home has been destroyed. I can't let them trample through here. I need to do something.
I understand your want to do it, and it makes all sense. Scrutiny, your words don't fall on deaf ears here. I understand that you're doing what is right. But can you really blame a father for not wanting to see his son run into the abyss?
Fully understand. And trust me, I have no plans to plunge into the abyss. I just need to do what I can.
Okay, well, I understand this. And he reaches around his neck and takes off his golden key. Just take this with you, Scrutiny. Abadar will look out for you.
Are you sure?
I want you to have it.
He hangs it around his neck.
It reminds me of when you were a young boy, and you vowed you'd follow me into the clergy.
Yes, yeah. Things change, they always do. Now more than ever.
Yes, that is one constant of the world, change.
I've got to, stock up for next time. Had an idea for a couple of spells I might want to try out. So I'll go do that. You have a good time. I hope everything goes well with the tending the wounded. Bye.
Yes. The elven man smiles warmly and waits. Come back soon, Scrutiny. Come back soon.
Oh, that was really cute.
That was lovely.
A D&D character, a loving parent.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to overtly say it. You can just imply it all, because that's how real families work. Alright, does anyone else want to do any RP before we go to resting? There's a lot of NPCs around.
Yeah. I think Eldon's hit the points he needs to.
I mean, I'm just planning on catching Smell up on everything that's happened.
Like, yo, we were underground, and then we came up, and then we ran through the city, we fought some cults, it was great.
Everyone else, it does look like a conversation, because they are replying, as in Smell is, like, letting out some elephant noises. Adistra is going like, I know, and like, well, so there is a conversation of sorts happening.
We'll let this happen. We will do some shopping and selling of evil cursed goods, and we'll see you in a few seconds, audience.
Da-da-da.
But probably about an hour for us.
You've rested up, you've reconnected with your loved ones, especially the mammoth kind. You've sold your evil artifacts, and you've got a little bit of spending money. Did anyone purchase anything nice for themselves?
Oh, I bought a wonderful item that I personally consider essential. A handy haversack.
What's a handy haversack when it's at home?
Well, for the people at home, they may be familiar with the classic role-playing game item, the Bag of Holding, which is a bag which can hold far more than its volume would suggest, in fact, many hundreds of times in some cases. The handy haversack is got far less capacity, but it has one neat little trick that if you're wearing the handy haversack, any item that you wish to retrieve is always on top, which means that no matter how much you fill it up, it's always a very quick action to pull something out, and it doesn't attacks of opportunity, unlike the Bag of Holding. And as another delicious side effect, anyone that you don't want pulling items out will always pull out low-value or worthless items from the sack, as opposed to things they might hope to steal.
That sounds pretty good. And if you want your own handy haversack, call 0800 Dragons Not Included to put your order in now.
And we'll include a free little mini plush one, just for you.
A free brand of Drangbird.
You know what we won't include, however? A dragon. Thanks very much, ladies and gents.
Get out.
That's all, folks. We've done the joke. That's it. There's no more podcast.
We're done. There's no more podcast. That's it.
As you're taking your separate rest activities, you're each approached by Irabeth, and she informs you that Quendus has returned from his solo mission, and that if you're willing to gather, there's many things to discuss.
Gather we shall.
So it's up the command table, as you have dubbed it, the command nook. A bit cramped, as a lot of people are sat there, including yourselves. There is also Irabeth, Anevia, Aravashnil, Lan, the stern head librarian of the Broken Blackwing, Quendus Orlun. Thank you for joining us here. Yes, it's good to see you all again. I'm sorry I had to leave our conversation so early the first time, but needs must.
What's going on?
I believe Commander Irabeth will explain to you. Yes. As horrific as recent events have been, we've come to realize that they are in fact merely a prelude. The raising of the kite, the destruction of our wardstone, Terendalev's murder, and the assault on the city were nothing more than opening gambits. The world wound is on the march, in a more concentrated assault than we've seen since the fall of Drezin. It is fair to say, the Lord of the Locust Host is finally making his move. The end of this 100-year war is upon us, and it falls on us to ensure victory. While the Templars of the Ivory Labyrinth were scattered, those who serve the Lord of the Locust Host himself remain concentrated in Old Kennebris. What we've heard from within the barricade they've erected is ominous. The cultists are waiting for something. And based on our own information and what you've managed to recover so far, it sounds like the Vile Witch, Arelu Vorelesh, will soon be coming to Kennebris, and it appears that we've determined what she intends to do. But I'm sure Quendus can do a better job of explaining that than I.
Thank you, Commander. Well, when the Wardstones were destroyed by the Storm King, it exploded and destroyed the kite. The network along the border has failed across all of Mendev. But it did not fade completely. I believe this is because a significant portion of our wardstone still exists, and that the cultists have taken it to the old garrison in Old Kennebris. From what we've learned, they're hoping to engineer a way and somehow to reverse the field generated by the wardstones. Essentially, to use our own greatest defense as a devastating weapon. Irabeth looks down. The attack on Kennebris has had a predictable result, causing the Crusade to gather at the border to defend it. Some wonder why the demons haven't attacked in stronger numbers. I believe Arelu was counting on us massing on the border, and that she can corrupt the Wardstone field. She can strike a devastating blow against us all. In effect, we've all lined up for the slaughter. Vorelesh is surely seeking some object of a great abyssal power, likely the Nahindrian crystal mentioned in the missive you received and the research Quendus has performed. And with it, she intends to turn the source of our hope into an unimaginable nightmare. We cannot hope to evacuate everyone from the border. I doubt they would give up the defensive line, even if they knew what the enemy was planning. But we can still stop this from happening. We just need to have someone infiltrate the Grey Garrison, locate the Wardstone fragment, and destroy it. And this is where you come in. You've proven yourself time and time again. You're a small force that can infiltrate the enemy's bases.
and take out what needs to be done. We're hoping that... Well, not just hoping. We ask of you, please. Could you be the force we send into the Grey Garrison?
I will do my best, or I will die trying. Who's with me?
I am not with you with the die trying. I will do my best. If death becomes an option, I will opt out.
Wouldn't exactly be doing my best in my role as a Crusader of Iomedae if I could at least try,
I'll join you. If this goes ahead, so many lives be lost that the scales of, you know, the economy will be massively out of balance and Drang would be very upset. If I can help prevent that, that would then be a great honor to my church.
I'm not just sending you two on a suicide mission. We have gathered enough support of our troops and our reinforcements from Neatholm. We will strike several key locations in Old Kennebras. And I'm sure these attacks will probably end in casualties and won't add up to much. But it is worth it if you can get into the Grey Garrison and destroy the Wardstone Fragment before Arilu can arrive. Unfortunately, we don't even know the timescale we're working on here. She could arrive this very minute or in several days. And I'm not asking you to strike the garrison at once. If you need to retreat and fall back to Defender's Heart, please do so. And thanks to the generosity of Horgus Gwerm, you might even be able to strike a few more raids. And on the matter of destroying the Wardstone Shard, each Wardstone is a large monolith, though it is a potent artifact. I assume since its destruction at the hands of Khorram Zaid, it is weakened somewhat. Artifacts are usually near impossible to destroy, but I think in its weakened state, I found something that will aid you on this manner. And he pulls out from sitting next to him a lacquer wooden box about 2 feet long and half a foot wide and lays it on the table. This is what I went out to find. There was an abandoned magic shop in Gate District. Darn wizards, so paranoid. They set so many traps it took me days to get past them all. He opens the lock on this box and opens it, and sitting in a velvet inlay is a foot and a half long ivory rod with a glowing green gemstone held between a fork at the tip. Now, I'm not sure if you've seen one of these before. They're quite hard to find. This is a rod of cancellation. It is an anathema to magical objects. Given a single touch, it can drain all the power from one. So, be careful, we've only got one of these. You only have one shot at destroying the Wardstone.
Okay.
Careful, we shall have to be.
Alright.
Scrutiny, I trust, is one of my brightest pupils. You will know how to use it.
Yes. I'll do some light revision, just to make sure, but yes.
Then I shall entrust it to you.
Okay. It's in his hand. Okay.
I will not send you on a mission that I would not be willing to sacrifice my life for, too. If you'll have me, I will accompany your group to the Grey Garrison.
You certain? It is.
Leave me with Anevia here. I've spoken to a lot of my subordinates. They are capable of planning these raids. I'd rather be out there on the front with you.
Alden will look to the rest of the group just to ensure. Like, he obviously does his happy daver along. He wants to make sure everyone as well.
That sounds like a good idea.
I mean, in Gorim's name, that sounds pretty amazing. Yeah, let's go. Well, not right now, but, like, it's really awesome that you're willing to fight and die with us.
The Inheritor will protect us. We must succeed at this mission. Ah, my friends, and if you are in need of assistance, the sharpshooters of Neatholm are at your service.
Well, prophecy said you'd be fighting alongside us, didn't it?
and I will be glad to be there at your side.
In Gorim's name, this will be a fight to remember.
Fulfilling prophecies always works out for the best. Yes. Okay.
Positive prophecies.
There is no positive prophecy.
Arabashanil, who's been sitting back listening to all this calmly, I may not be able to go with you with my eyesight being impaired as it is, but I do know that the Rift Wardens had several caches throughout the city. Most of them have been destroyed in the demon attack, but I have recently learned of one that has survived. And to boot, it's on the way to Old Kenebres. You can just stop by there and pick up any supplies you need on your way to assault the Grey Garrison.
Fantastic.
There's a small shrine of Iori, who are friendly with the Rift Wardens, and hidden in the basement of the shrine, you'll find the cache there.
All right.
Well, we take that location into account. We should be able to head out as soon as everyone is ready.
And I guess we'll prepare for this attack next time on the Dragons Not Included podcast.
Whoa!
Best joining you!
Yeah!
Ooh, more cliffhanger!
New party members, yeah!
Yo!
Well, that was quite a bittersweet episode. Lots of reunions, the plan of Aralu Vorilesh revealed, and of course, the party is prepared to assault the Grey Garrison. I can't wait to see what happens in the next episode. But before then, I'd just like to give some shoutouts and thanks. First of all, we'd like to thank Social Introvert on SoundCloud for our theme tune. Secondly, for the awesome music and atmospheric sounds, we'd like to thank Sirenscape. They make the best music out there for running all your games. Please follow us here to keep up with our episodes and give us a rating if you enjoyed. Our social media links are in the show notes below for updates on when episodes coming out. We'll be back soon. Hope you join us then.